discussing about the really the future and the past of pro wrestling, and I'm here live in the offices of WCW in Atlanta this week. Bill, we've talked earlier this morning about some things for 1993. Let's talk first about new talent. You are really on an aggressive bring a lot of new names in. What can you tell us about that at this point?
Well, we have several new names that will be starting with WCW. We have Rage and Fury, the Wrecking Crew. Due to some trademarking, they can't use the name they'd established. When you come to work for TBS, it becomes a whole different ball game. And they've decided they want to be called the Wrecking Crew, which Ole Anderson's a little up in arms about because he says, I don't know if they can live up to that tradition. So I think that's kind of a challenge. We have a young man named Steve Regal that's coming over from England.
Now, this is not the same Steve Regal that wrestled in this country in the mid-'80s or so.
No. This is a young man that we spotted, and we're bringing him over. We got a young man named Benoit, who's a Canadian, who I've been very excited the times I've seen him here and in Japan. He'll be starting pretty quick, and we're looking at a lot of different talent options. Just hung up from another young man I'm calling tomorrow to bring down for a tryout. And then some of these names I don't want to reveal yet because it'll depend on whether we use them or not. Then there's another big gentleman that was an All-American in wrestling, and he's got a very interesting concept, and we've been talking to him, and he's coming in for a tryout. We're also talking to two or three established pieces of talent that have been with the WWF. And some guys that are working independent in different places. So we're constantly on the search. I happened to come to the office yesterday and look at maybe 30 tapes that had been sent in to me by different guys. That's where I got the young man that I'm calling tomorrow. And he just had called right before we did this, and I didn't have time to talk to him. I got a little background, and we're going to be talking tomorrow about giving him a tryout. I think that we have to interject young talent. I think also that we're going to set up a more complete system. It won't be like the dojo system in Japan, certainly, but we're going to have these guys work out. And we're going to have some of our regulars go back and work out. And we're going to be really trying to look at the direction it's going and the skill level. And what we're looking for is people with background. We want to start with athletes first. Then if they pan out, they've got a better chance to make it.
Let's look at Clash of the Champions. One of the things that was discussed for next week's Clash is that you got injuries, and they have hit you pretty hard once again. Rude injured. Possibility of a couple of the wrestlers being up in the air for this. What potential substitutes will be coming into that match?
Well, Rick Rude is certainly injured, and that really is a big blow to us because Rude has been a real franchise type of talent. He's always in the ring giving it his all, but he's got an injury that could affect his spinal cord, and so certainly we want him to take all the time with his specialist and not do anything the guy wouldn't tell him to do and see if this thing can't get well. So we're going to stick Paul Orndorff in Rude's spot in the Clash, and Paul's a great athlete. And he's a great pro wrestler, and he had that injury some years back and had some surgery. Now, the one arm, his right arm is smaller, but he's got his strength back, and he's in peak form, and he's an experienced veteran. And we got a surprise for the Clash, Steve, and you and I were talking about it earlier, but I don't know if I really want to announce it at this point, but y'all stay tuned. Hopefully we'll have something about it on the 10th on Jim Ross's Sunday night main event. Because there's one of the old orangutan guys. Actually, is this is the first guy I ever heard of in a street fight. And so when we were thinking of that Milwaukee street fight that's going to be in the Mecca on the Clash in that great big cage, I was just trying to figure who could fit in there. The real reason for that is we don't know Simmons' status. When Vader captured the world's title in Baltimore, he shoulder broke him on that bad shoulder. And so I know Simmons was injured pretty good in that. We just don't know his status at this time.
Put it this way, the surprise will make a good many people happy, I think.
I think so.
Let's look at two other aspects and deal with some of the more controversial aspects. Of course, you and I have been labeled various things in the last few weeks by some of our favorite writers, and we won't deal with that any further. But one thing that has been suggested in the last couple of weeks, it was in one specific newsletter, the issue of a couple of the top stars in some towns during the holiday week that were advertised did not appear. What can you tell us about that?
Well, there was three guys that missed their flight out of Florida to go to Charlotte, and the world's champion was one of them. He was fined $2,000 for that, and the other two were fined $1,000 apiece. We talked about this when we first started restructuring the flights, bad weather, fog, holiday travel. So if you change your reservation, which they change the reservation, or you've heard the old excuse, I didn't get my wake-up call, it doesn't cost much to buy an alarm clock. I wouldn't wait on the front desk to wake me up. The other thing was Sting missed his, and Sting had been overbooked. There has been some personnel here that are no longer here, and they didn't keep track of his dates. But he come in to the booking committee, and he told them that I'm overbooked, but as a favor to the company, because I love this company, and this is where I make my living, I'll give them these extra dates. And then the booker, by mistake, double booked him on those days. And he said, hey, I'd give you the extra dates. It didn't mean you could work me twice in a day. So by contract and even by position, Sting was right, and the booker was wrong. And the booking department has to learn when you make these type of things, you need to get the agreement with the wrestler and get him to initial it. Then there can be no cause for. So I'm not taking any action against Sting. I mean, I don't really like that he did it that way. But if I were in his shoes as a wrestler, I probably would have done it that way. So, I mean, if you got to look at both sides, you got to look at the reason. Because other than that, Sting's given his all. And, I mean, I thought on Starcades, we need to develop sometime just how great an event that new Starcades was, because you had guys had to wrestle three times. And I always think that you really find out what a guy's made of when you push him to new frontiers in endurance. And I thought there were some great, great matches in Starcades.
All right, one last thing. That would deal with, you've read the comments that have been written in recent weeks, and you've got some new people that are coming into the front office staff here. You've got Bill Dundee, a veteran who's worked for this organization before and for the Memphis group. You've got Greg Gagne, who was part of the AWA, and possibly another name or two that you're considering. And some of the writers have criticized that these are all old names in the business, and you've read that.
Well, I think the first thing we ought to do is all these writers that know it all, and all of them do know it all, they are really missing their calling. Why mess around with their little bitty tiny underground newspapers and the few people they seem to impress? They ought to start their own wrestling company, because it'd be an immediate success, wouldn't it? Because they know exactly how everything should be done. They know exactly what athletes do this. They know exactly how they ought to be paid. They really know everything. So they're really missing the boat. Instead of sitting up there being critics, and they are tremendous critics, and I don't mean tremendous in ability, maybe tremendous in effort, that they ought to just become wrestling promoters, because without a doubt, Vince and the WCW would soon be gone, and they would dominate it. We just can't really, I try to treat them as journalists at first. And one thing about journalism is when you hear something, you confirm it first. Your source has to have some authenticity. And they just kind of have taken that aspect of journalism and thrown it away. So as soon as they hear anything, it's a fact with them. And they not only do they print it, they also let the people who print stuff that they know themselves is an untruth still take up tremendous space in their newsletters and print it. The other thing is, no matter what we do here, it doesn't make them happy, and they contradict themselves back and forth so much that most of the time I don't even finish reading it anymore. I used to read it just for some information or to see what their impression was, but it's getting where it's not very high on my reading list anymore.
And there you have it. If we had a live audience, it'd be interesting to have the comments from them on this. But we do thank you for calling.
Well, but they are used to criticizing, but they don't really like when they get criticized.
Amen, as Mr. Soley used to say. That's option two for this particular edition. We thank you for taking the time to call us and to be with us here on the Wrestling Hotline. And I invite you to also call me on 900 Matt Watch on the regular full menu options here. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again soon.